broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8
to 9:30 p.m.
Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." We'll be going home when Jesus steps
aside. Good evening to everyone. We thank God for another weekend. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9:30. And we thank God for the gift of life. It's always a privilege to come your way on Saturday evenings, you know. And tonight, first we'll be talking about the news, and then we'll go on with the topic for the day as well. The news is not as, you know, a lot is happening in the news all the time. We talk about it, but the whole essence of these things or the news that we talk about is meant to let us understand the times we are in and to give us a better perspective of what we read in the Word of God regarding Bible prophecies, regarding the times and all that. You know, sometimes we can be caught in the deceptive mood that, oh, nothing really is happening out there, especially if in Ghana, you know, we don't see a lot of the things that other countries are experiencing. So we can be, you know, in that vision that all is well. No earthquakes, a lot of things, no war and all that. So if you don't really understand what is happening elsewhere, and then you interface it with the Word of God, you can easily just be deceiving yourself that all is well relatively regarding what the Bible talks about, the times. Tonight I'll read one excerpt analysis regarding what's happening, so that you can get a better picture and appreciate exactly some of the things we hear in the news or see in the news. So we'll go on and dismiss the news section, the latter part especially. I'll be talking about all this stuff. Okay, so first greetings to listeners outside the city, outside the country, elsewhere and all. Welcome to tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM this evening. All right. So this week, the Ghana Health Service confirmed the samples that they took outside the country for further confirmation regarding the Marburg virus. So this BBC report says Ghana confirms cases of deadly Marburg virus. So Ghana has confirmed these first two cases of deadly Marburg virus, a highly infectious disease in the same family as the virus that causes Ebola. It says both patients died recently in hospital in Ashanti region. Their samples came back positive last month and have now been verified by a laboratory in Senegal. Health officials in West African nation say 98 people are now under quarantine as suspected contact cases. These include relatives, medics, mortuary workers who came into contact with the two patients. This is the second time that Marburg has been identified in West Africa. There was one confirmed case in Guinea last year, but that outbreak was declared over in September, 5 weeks after the case was discovered. So we just hope and pray that it will be contained with the quarantine processes and contact tracing that they've been working on. Because, you know, we don't need this extra problem on our hands as a nation. It's something else altogether. It's that serious. And this one, the mortality rate is very, very, very high. So it's not like COVID that has a much, much lower mortality rate. You know, and this week I heard a doctor is talking about what Ghanaians we shouldn't be doing, shaking hands and all the, those things, washing hands, don't shake hands and all. But it looks like our society is so embedded in some of our practices that today I went to a funeral and it's like the handshaking there is like Ghanaians, they've not heard what is happening at all. But I believe, well, I mean, it's better we take precautions, you know, COVID. People got used to it, and I don't know how come so soon people are just rushing back to handshaking again. You know, if you just keep it as it is, you know, if you don't shake hands, what happens? You know, so if the doctors are cautioning we shouldn't be shaking hands, what's the big deal? We shouldn't shake it. After all, we were able to avoid shaking hands during the COVID, the peak of it. So let's just take the precautions that we are being given. All right, so this interesting news. EU, that's the European Union, to soften sanctions on Russian banks to allow food trade. The first question is, when they were putting the sanctions on Russia, what was going through their minds in the first place? Because it's just obvious that the sanctions was going to cause problems. And it's like now the problem has arisen and now you're going back soften the sanctions. It just tells you that this whole thing, sometimes politicians can be something else. So the European Union will amend its sanctions on Moscow on Wednesday. In this like past Wednesday that happened, so that this week, by allowing unfreezing of some funds of top Russian banks that may be required to ease bottlenecks in the global trade of food and fertilizers, a draft document showed. The move comes amid criticism from African leaders about the negative impact of the sanctions on the trade, which may have exacerbated shortages, chiefly caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine and its blockading of ports in the Black Sea. Another change regulation, which is expected to be adopted by EU envoys on Wednesday, EU nations will be able to unfreeze previously blocked economic resources owned by top Russian leaders. VTB, Sovcom Bank, Novicom Bank, and then others. And then the document said, separately, under new sanctions to be adopted on Wednesday, SEB Bank and Russia's largest bank will also become subject to a freezing of its assets, with the exception of resources needed for food trade, an EU official told Reuters agency. you know, I think last 2 weeks or so, they had to unfreeze aspects of the oil sanctions so that a particular machine that Russia uses to, you know, it helps in their fixing of their gas that they pump to Europe can be used. So they had to unfreeze the sanctions so that Russia can have access to that machine, which was frozen under the sanctions in Canada. You know, so it's like earlier when this whole thing, I remember one politician describing it like Russia, Europe is just shooting itself in the foot, because the same hand that feeds you, you are sanctioning. Okay, so now your gas supplies are in, you know, issues, even the food. You get your food from this. So you just look at it and it's like, so you put the sanctions in place and now you have to start going back. They are mentioning Africa. Yes, African leaders, talked about it officially, but they Europe themselves, they need the food from Europe. I mean, Russia, they themselves, they need it. So Russia and Ukraine. So it's not just about Africa. They themselves are having big issues with food, you know. So the use of the sanctions then. You know, and I keep telling people that this thing, why should you punish the whole world because of one country? I mean, me, I see it as, why should you punish everybody else because of one country? We should all suffer. Is it worth it? Well, that's up to you to, you know, analyze. Then the next news says U.S. and Ukraine accuse Russia of striking Odessa day after signing deal to allow grain exports. So, yesterday they signed an agreement, Russia, Ukraine, under the UN and Turkey, to allow Russia to allow food exports to start from Ukraine again. And then today this news comes. So Odessa is the seaport. And then today Russia started firing again. You know, so let me read. U.S. and Ukrainian authorities on Saturday accused Russian forces of attacking the port city of Odessa one day after a deal was signed to allow safe passage of grain exports. The enemy attacked Odessa seaport with caliber cruise missiles. Two missiles were shot down by air defense forces. Two hit the port's infrastructure facilities, head of Odessa Regional Military Administration said on Telegram. It's unclear at this time if anyone was hurt in the strikes. U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Bridget Brink, condemned the attack and called it outrageous. Russian strikes on port city of Odessa less than 24 hours after signing an agreement to allow shipment of agricultural exports, she said on Twitter. The Kremlin continues to weaponize food. Russia must be held to account. Ukrainian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Oleg Nikolenko said Russia will bear full responsibility for global food crisis. It took less than 24 hours for Russia to launch a missile attack on Odessa's port, breaking its promises and undermining its commitment before the UN and Turkey under the Istanbul Agreement, he said. Officials from Russia, Ukraine, Turkey, and UN sealed an agreement Friday to allow merchant ships to transport urgently needed food supplies through the Black Sea amid a global food crisis. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres championed the deal as an agreement for the world, as developing nations grapple with food shortages and famine following a five-month-long blockade over the Black Sea ports. Guterres was light on specifics involved in the agreement, but said three Ukrainian ports, including Odessa, Chermansk, and Yuzhny, would be opened to allow for significant volumes of food exports. But on Saturday, a spokesperson for the UN told Fox News Digital, the UN Secretary General unequivocally condemns reported strikes today in the Ukrainian port of Odessa. All parties made clear commitments on the global stage to ensure the safe passage movement of Ukrainian grain and related products to global markets. These products are desperately needed, the spokesman added. Full implementation by the Russian Federation, Ukraine, and Turkey is imperative. Details regarding a preliminary agreement suggested a treaty would require Russian President Vladimir Putin's pledge to uphold a ceasefire so Ukrainian naval vessels escort merchant ships. The Ukrainian vessels would guide the merchant ships by first sweeping the mine-infested waters on their way to Turkey's Bosphorus Strait. But whilst officials applauded the negotiations, several questioned whether Russia would actually respect the terms of the agreement. Victoria Nuland, U.S. Undersecretary for Political Affairs at the State Department, welcomed the news Friday but said, "This came together because I think Russia ultimately felt the hot breath of global opprobrium." Then it goes on to say that it is now incumbent on Russia to actually implement this deal, she said from the Aspen Security Forum. And then on and on. So, well, let's see how things go. But, you know, this Russian government, well, let's see. Okay, so the next news says the U.S. and allies may soon provide Ukraine fighter jets to counter Russia. And that one will take the whole war to another level. So senior U.S. officials acknowledged Wednesday that the United States and its allies are considering whether to provide Ukraine with new fighter jets and the training needed to operate them, a move that would dramatically expand Western involvement in the war with Russia. General Charles K. Brown Jr., Chief of Staff of the U.S. Air Force, said that although he would not speculate what type of aircraft might be transferred, discussions are ongoing about how to reinforce Ukraine's fleet, including with new planes. The Ukrainian Air Force has been outgunned by Russia since the invasion began February 24th, sparingly flying an assortment of MIG jets and other Cold War-era planes. Brown said there are several possibilities, including American-made fighters or some made in Europe. Options include the Gripen fighter made in Sweden and the Rafale made in France, and the Eurofighter Typhoon, which is built by a consortium of companies in several countries. The discussion marks a departure from earlier in the war with the Biden administration, when they ruled out facilitating a deal that would have sent some of Poland's MIG fighters to Ukraine in exchange for U.S.-manufactured F-16s. Pentagon officials said in March that such a proposal was not tenable and raised the possibility that participating in the swap could exacerbate tensions. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that European allies had a green light to send planes to Ukraine, but that the United States wanted to avoid direct conflict with Russia. The prospect of training Ukrainian pilots to operate new aircraft already has traction in Congress. Last week, the House voted to dedicate $100 million to the endeavor as part of its version of the annual defense authorization bill. Thus far, however, Pentagon leaders have declined to endorse such a plan. Oh yeah, because they know the implications. It can be something else. It can really turn the whole thing into a big explosive war. Alright, so more pestilences in the world. You know, we talked about it in recent times. Now, today, WHO declares monkeypox a global health emergency. So, monkeypox outbreak has been declared a global health emergency by the World Health Organization. The classification is the highest alert that the WHO can issue and follows a worldwide upset in cases. It came at the end of the second meeting of WHO's Emergency Committee on the Virus. More than 16,000 cases have now been reported from 75 countries, said the WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom. There had been 5 deaths so far as a result of the outbreak, he said. There are only 2 other health emergencies at present, the coronavirus pandemic and the continued effort to eradicate polio. Then Dr. Tedros said the emergency committee had been unable to reach a consensus on whether monkeypox outbreak should be classified as a global health emergency. However, he said the outbreak has spread around the world rapidly, and he said that it was indeed international concern. Too little was understood about the new modes of transmission which had allowed it to spread, said Dr. Tedros. The WHO's assessment is that the risk of monkeypox is moderate globally and in all regions, except in the European region, where we assess the risk is high, he said. There was also a clear risk of further international spread, although the risk of interference with international traffic remained low for the moment, he said. Dr. Tedros said the declaration will help speed up the development of vaccines and the implementation of measures to limit the spread of the virus. The WHO is also issuing recommendations which it hopes will spur countries to take action to transmission of the virus and protect those most at risk. Most at risk. Okay? This is an outbreak that can be stopped with the right strategies in the right groups, Dr. Tedros said. But interestingly, the next news call says something. Major study shows that monkeypox is being driven overwhelmingly by sex between men. So actually, most of the cases now in Europe are in the gay community. Most. LGBT communities, most of the cases, even the US, the same. quite interesting. The global monkeypox outbreak is primarily being driven by sex between men, according to the first major peer-reviewed paper to analyze the large set of cases of the virus. According to NBC News, the outbreak, which epidemiologists believe initially began in mid-spring gatherings of gay and bisexual men in Europe, has since alarmed such aspects by ballooning to nearly 16,000 cases worldwide. Now, infectious disease specialists are developing an increasingly refined understanding of the predominant conduits of monkeypox transmission, as well as the typical disease course patterns. These data point clearly to the fact that infections are so far most exclusively occurring among men who have sex with men, said Jenny Nuzo, an epidemiologist at Brown University, of the new study, which was published Thursday in the New England Journal of Medicine. The clinical presentation of these infections suggests that sexual transmission, not just close physical contact, may be helping spread the virus amongst this population. This large multi-country study provides the most complete set of clinical and demographic data on monkeypox cases occurring outside endemic areas, said Nuzo, who was not involved with the study. No one has died of monkeypox infection outside Africa during this outbreak, and for many people, the disease is relatively mild and resolves on its own in a few weeks without any need for medical intervention. However, the new paper reports that monkeypox can cause pain so intense that a substantial proportion of people with the virus require hospitalization for pain management. Interesting. All right, we go to Nigeria, where we have a Catholic priest killed in Nigeria. Another escapes abductors. So this is from the Morning Star News. It says the body of one of two Catholic priests kidnapped on Friday, July 15th in Kaduna State, Nigeria, was recovered Tuesday, July 19th, according to sources. The Reverend John Mark Chetnu was Director of Communications of the Catholic Diocese of Kafanchan, kidnapped at gunpoint from the parish rectory on Christ the King Catholic Church in Yaudin Garu, along with the Reverend Donatus Cleopas Suleiman. Chetnam was killed while Suleiman was able to escape, according to the Kafchan Diocese. The Reverend Father Donatus Cleopas escaped from his abductors and has reunited with us, said Reverend Emmanuel Okulo, Chancellor of the Catholic Diocese of Kafanchan, in a press statement. However, it is with deep sense of sorrow and pain that the bishop, clergy, and laity of the Diocese of Kafanchan announced the gruesome murder of the very Reverend Father Mark John Chetnam. Chetnam served as a priest at St. James Parish in Fori, Jama local government area, according to the diocese. You know, this thing in Nigeria is just some way now. I mean, virtually, there's no week that you don't hear of abductions and kidnappings and killings and brutalization. It's too serious. Then this news. Christian group warns social media can be deadly after two girls die in TikTok challenge. And parents, please take note of this news, because some of these challenges are being done in Ghana as well. You know, because TikTok is also here. You know, it's quite common now among the teenagers and the youth. It's quite a trending system. A Christian organization commented on the potential harms of young children using social media without proper supervision amid reports that two sets of parents are suing TikTok over the belief of the company could have done more to prevent their daughters' deaths via an online challenge. The Social Media Victims Law Center filed a civil lawsuit against TikTok and its parent company, ByteDance Limited, in the Los Angeles County court on behalf of the families of Lalani Walton and Ariani Arroyo, two children who died whilst attempting the viral TikTok challenge known as Blackout Challenge. Participants in the challenge share videos depicting self-strangulation until they lose consciousness. That's madness. Walton and Ariani, ages 8 and 9, respectively died after participating in the challenge. The parents claimed that their children became addicted to TikTok and that the platform promoted content that influenced the kids to harm themselves. Paul Asay, senior associate editor of the Christian organization Focus on the Families, PluggedIn.com, which helps parents navigate popular entertainment, weighed in on the controversy, stressing that social media comes with a built-in irony. Asay told the Christian Post that these applications are intended to strengthen friendships but are also a business. He said the purpose of the business is to keep their users as involved and engaged as much as they possibly can. He stated that this can be a problem for kids and teens using social media applications. The associate editor argued that children typically don't have the ability to make wise, healthy decisions for themselves. Social media is designed to be addictive, in a way, designed to keep its users engaged with it as long as possible, Asay wrote. And as this tragic story illustrates, content found on such sites can be damaging, dangerous, and deadly, especially for children. The lawsuit notes that the application's algorithm serves as a recommendation system that delivers content to each user that is likely to be of interest to that particular user. And each person's feed is unique, tailored to that specific individual. According to the complaint, TikTok determined that videos showing the blackout challenge were appropriate for young users and fed their children a stream of challenge videos persuading them to participate. Both girls' parents also alleged that the company does not provide adequate warnings to deter young users or inform parents about the application's addictive qualities or the presence of dangerous challenges. The lawsuit seeks damages from TikTok for its product design, which allegedly directs kids to videos like the ones their daughters watched. TikTok did not immediately respond to Christian Post's request for comment. In a statement, the SMVLC claimed that the suit alleges that TikTok's defective design of its social media products results in an addictive product that is not safe for users and fails to warn minors and their parents that TikTok is addictive and uses and pushes harmful content onto their For You page that could endanger their well-being. Earlier this month, a spokesperson for the company told New York Times that the company would not comment on continuing litigation. TikTok also pointed to a previous statement to People's Magazine regarding a 10-year-old girl who also died after attempting the blackout challenge. The social media application argued that the online challenge predated its platform and had never become a TikTok trend. TikTok expressed its deepest sympathies to the family of that case and vowed to remain vigilant in our commitment to user safety and immediately remove related content if found. Asay noted that while the TikTok is designed for children 13 and older, as seen in the case involving the two girls, children much younger than that also use the platform. He argued that parents must engage their children on this topic and monitor their online activities. And when their kids do begin to engage in social media, make sure that you engage them. Set as sensible parameters on how much time they spend on social media and who they spend it with, he wrote. Talk with them about these dangers and above all, keep the lines of communication open. Social media is indeed a huge and powerful influencer, but moms and dads are even more influential. And you see, for those who have been listening to this program, I talked a bit about, you know, digital parenting last year and I think before COVID as well, we did it. The dangers are clear. Social media is not meant for kids. Bottom line, I mean, this whole thing, the addictive nature of social media is not good for kids. research upon research has confirmed how, you know, the brain, when using social media, the impact on your brain, the feeling that you get is the same feeling that someone using drugs also has. So, you know, the release of dopamine, this chemical in the brain, the way the drug users feel when they are using drugs, that same feeling is exhibited in people who are also addicted and hooked to social media. That feeling of, you know, looking out for your likes, what people have liked, people have commented on your thing, your post, you know, when you have the likes and the comments, how you feel, you know, psychologically, it's been proven that the chemical reaction in your brain is likened to drug users. So clearly it's a real danger zone when it comes to social media. I mean, I've talked about it a number of times on this program. And the parents have a higher role in this case. It's very unfortunate that young girls like this, just, you know, when you look at the U.S., it's virtually like a standard, you know, so they all have phones, no restriction most of the time. Parents don't really care what their children are using the phones for, you know, so everybody is just on there. Their friends are there. They also want to be there. This whole parental control thing is a real big challenge for parents out there. Over here, a lot of parents are also beginning to fail in that regard. Get their children the devices because they can afford. And then now what follows? No controls, freedom of usage, unrestricted access to internet. They just use it as they want. See, it's very unfortunate, but that's the reality. A lot of young children in primary school having phones and are on TikTok in Ghana. I mean, way off. It shouldn't be so. But it's like the parents would just like, well, what's the big deal? You know, it's like a trend. Everybody, their friends are there, so they also want to be there. You see, as soon as you go that line, then that's the beginning of the problem. Because if it's because their friends are there, they want to be there, then that sense and that feeling of belonging and that peer pressure is now what is driving the scene. So where lies your parental control? Where lies the digital parents? You know, what I spoke about or we spoke about in those editions. You know, the controls that parents have to exert. See, a whole lot of things that parents are overlooking when it comes to technology and how it works and all, the dangers and all. Yes, it's a beautiful thing, but we can't also ignore the dangers which are real and present. And it's really causing harm, like these two girls. They're dead because, you see, this challenge thing is so addictive and enticing. It's like, okay, my friend has done it, so me too, I can do it. And it's like, so this challenge, so it's like, let's say in the class, they are doing it, okay, I can do it. So it's like, my friends, I can do it. Then they keep doing so. And for whatever reason, all sorts of absurd challenges keep coming up, and then they are challenging each other, I can do, you can do, and they do it. I mean, this particular case, how do you strangulate yourself till you lose your breath? I mean, how? Of course, if you lose, you can't breathe. If care is not taken, you can faint, pass out, and all. But in extreme case, the death, and that's what happened in this two girls' case. You know, so it's serious. Parents really have to talk to their children. Parents have to really, really talk to their children regarding the bottom line. Don't let them be on social media in the first place. Really talk to them. Let them understand that it's not for children. No, it's for children. And it comes back to parenting. Because if you let them understand and you talk to them, and if you're a parent and you can't really let the children understand the do's and the don'ts, the good and the bad regarding these things, then there's a big problem. Because if even you can't control them at the much younger ages like this, then when they get to the teens, how are you going to manage? You see, so this news should be a guide and a warning. It's not only TikTok. Yeah, you know, I've read the reports from even the Instagram, their mother company, Meta, as they call themselves now. where their own research shows that impact is having on the young girls, Instagram is having on them. And I believe it goes beyond Instagram. It's not too far from Facebook as well. Psychologically, it's affecting girls, you know, and sadly, ladies who are even much older, but also falling for that same psychological effect. A whole lot of things are happening regarding these systems. So we should be guided. Parents should really, really, really be guided by these things and help their children. Okay. One or two more. Okay, let me quickly. Let's take a break. Then I'll come and continue. So let me just read this one. University of Pennsylvania. Hey, America, America, America. Nominates a trans-identified swimmer, Leah Thomas, for Woman of the Year Award. You know, sometimes I see some of the news and I just wonder, what has happened to humanity? What has happened to human beings? You see a man, wide shoulders, thick tall, says I'm a woman, and is swimming and winning, breaking all records in the women swimming competitions, and you are given an award for Woman of the Year. Oh, no. So the University of Pennsylvania has nominated trans-identified swimmer Leah Thomas for the National Collegiate Athletics Association's Woman of the Year Award. Thomas, who after swimming on the men's teams for 3 years as Will Thomas, recently started competing in the women's team. He wasn't doing so well there, so let me change over to women and cheat them. Hey, this world. Thomas, who gave garnered national headlines earlier this year as the debate about the participation of trans-identified athletes on sports teams rage in the U.S., politics, and other areas of society, is one of 577 graduating student athletes NCAA member schools have nominated for 2022 NCAA Woman of the Year Award. Established in 1991, the award recognizes female student athletes who have exhausted their eligibility and distinguished themselves in their communities and in academics throughout their college careers, the NCAA says in a statement announcing the nominations. As 2022 marks the 50th anniversary of the Title IX, that's the NCAA Woman of the Year program, is an important opportunity to honor and reflect on the impact of women in collegiate sports, it adds. Thomas has recorded the fastest times in women college swimming in the 200 and 500 freestyle and 1,650 freestyle events by nearly 40 seconds. Wow, see, an unfair advantage. Because his shoulders alone, I mean, if he is to swim against women. Oh. In April, Riley Gaines, the University of Kentucky swimmer, accused the NCAA of showing preferential treatment to the trans-identified athlete over her after they tied in the 200-yard freestyle NCAA women's swimming competition in Atlanta, Georgia. When we finished and I went behind the podium to collect my fifth place trophy, it kind of blatantly told me that Leah would hold the fifth place trophy and that I could pose with the sixth place trophy for photos and will be mailed a fifth place trophy in the mail, she replied, speaking to Fox News opinion host Tucker Carlson at the time. So, you know, there's the generation, something is wrong. Something is wrong. But it doesn't end there. The worst is even coming in the next news. And this one, when I saw it, I say, well, but not surprising. Though, it's like the world has just decided that good is bad, bad is good. And that's what the next news is. So, in New Jersey, transgender woman transferred from women's only prison after impregnating two inmates. I mean, how can this even be allowed in the first place? A transgender woman incarcerated at the women's only prison in New Jersey has been removed to another facility after impregnating two female inmates earlier this year, according to a local report. Demi Minor, 27, was transferred last month from the Edna Mahan Correctional Facility in Clinton to Garden State Youth Correctional Facility, a prison for young adult offenders located in Burlington County, Dan Sparaza, a spokesperson for the state's Department of Corrections, told NewJersey.com, NJ.com. Sparaza said Minor, who is serving a 30-year sentence for manslaughter, is currently the only woman, incarcerated at the facility and was placed in the vulnerable unit. He couldn't comment further on the minor's housing situation due to their privacy policies, the paper reported. Minor's move comes after a paper reported in April that Sparaza said it appeared two women at the Edna Mahan facility became pregnant after relationships with another incarcerated person. You know, so this is what shows that the world has gone off, because you see a man who says I'm a woman and you go and lock him up in women's prison. I mean, how can we do this as adults? And it's like, this is the new world. Everybody should accept it. If you dare talk against it, it's in Ghana that we are freely talking about. I mean, we talk against this, but out there, seriously, you'll be called all sorts of things, homophobic and this and that. And it's like, now the system has cowered everybody who even knows it's wrong. Well, you can't talk about it. So everybody should just embrace it. And they are just running the world, just the show, just like they want. But this is the new world that they want everybody to embrace. If they had their wish, they wish that's how all of us, the whole world, would be accepting this. It would be all over. Every country will have this whole LGBT thing embraced, fully accepted. And having such absurd things happening, men in women's prison. Even in the US, I read under report today where they've started in their training manuals where, so if guys are in the washroom and there's a lady trans who is now requesting to be transgendered into a man but hasn't done the surgery yet, they should just still allow to be, I mean, all sorts of absurd things. And you read it and it's like, so are there discerning adults who are in charge of these things? But you see, this is the state of the world where human beings are trying to poke God in the eyes and say that, well, God, you made a mistake in your creation and we are correcting it the way we want it. That's the bottom line of this whole LGBT thing, that God, you made a mistake, especially the transgender one, that you made a mistake in your creation. So we are correcting it. Allow us to correct it the way we want. And that's the summary of their whole behavior and their action. But the last one, before I break, I thought the world is getting off, but this one there, it has really, really shown this evening when I was realizing. So you people in Ukraine to consider legalizing same-sex marriage after petition swells to 28,000 signatures. So you wouldn't even think of something else more important but this. So more than 28,000 people have signed a petition which argues that in war-torn Ukraine, and this is, listen to this part, quote, every day can be the last, unquote. And same-sex couples deserve the opportunity to start a family and have an official document to prove it. So you know that every day can be the last. And you are really eager to have this lifestyle legalized. God have mercy. It looks like people are just not interested in escaping hell by their actions. So according to Forbes, the magazine, any petition in Ukraine that garners more than 25,000 signatures is automatically eligible for consideration by the president, who is required to respond within 10 days. At this time, every day can be the last, wrote Anastasia Sovenko, the listed author of the petition. let people of the same sex get the opportunity to start a family and have an official document to prove it. They need the same rights as traditional couples. It's unclear if Zelensky will support legalizing same-sex marriage in Ukraine. Zelensky said he didn't want to say anything negative about Ukraine's LGBTQ plus community in response to a homophobic heckler during a 2019 press conference. We all live in an open society where each can choose the language they speak, their ethnicity and orientation, Zelensky said. Leave the people alone, for God's sake. He has also come under fire for gay rights groups in Ukraine for not dismissing Oleksiy Arestovych, one of his closest advisors, who last month said members of the LGBTQ community are deviants. Of course, that's the truth. Homosexuality has been legal in Ukraine since 1991, but same-sex partnerships are not lawfully recognized. Whilst Ukraine's anti-discrimination laws include protections for sexual orientation and gender identity, negative social attitudes impede the effect of laws in practice, according to the UCL, European Institute. Of all the countries in the world at this time, the last place I would ever think that they will be interested in this is Ukraine. But as for the war, it means nothing to them. They are more interested in having their unions, because every day can be the last. And it seems people don't understand every day can be the last. The meaning of it, people just can't understand it. Because if you truly understood that every day can be the last on earth, then your behavior and your lifestyle should have been seeking to get close to God and to live a life that pleases Him. But rather, people are saying every day can be the last. And they are really seeking rather to live a life that is rather contrary and an insult to God. No, no, no. God help us. This is Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this song. It's a long time I played it, but we need it in times like these.
At a very early age, yes, I've known Him nearly all of my life. Well, I admit there have been times when I faltered along the way, but I'll keep trying, because somehow I've got to make it in. You see, I've got a charge on my life, and I've got a job to do, and I can't stop until it's through, 'cause I'm deserving. I've got a made up mind. I can't stand around wasting my criticizing someone else. There are some things I'd rather leave behind, and another thing, and I don't have time to be bothered with he said, that she said, that they said, because it's all I can do to keep my own self in line. Oh no, work while it's day, 'cause I know the night is surely coming. I'm going all the way.
I'm determined.
I'm determined. Yes,
I got a made up mind.
Got a made up mind.
I can't stand around.
Beautiful song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, Heaven on My Mind. You know, in the midst of all that is happening, all the news I talked about, the only action that this thing should trigger in us is to begin to be heavenly minded, because it tells you that this world cannot be our place forever. No. The world is just going off. The world is going off, and you can't see anything better that will come out of it, because the way things are going, no. When it's like good is openly now being confronted by evil, and evil is being celebrated and hailed. So clearly, we cannot be here forever as Christians. We have a better place that we should be more interested in working ourselves towards. So, Heaven on My Mind. I started with Jesus at a very early age. Yes, I've known him nearly all of my life. I admit there have been times when I faltered along the way, but I keep trying because somehow I've got to make it in. You see, I've got a charge on my life and I've got a job to do, and I can't stop until it's through. I'm determined. I've got a made up mind. I can't stand around wasting my time. I'm gonna keep on working for Jesus every day of my life, because I've got heaven on my mind. I don't have time to waste criticizing someone else. There are some things I would rather leave behind. And I don't have time to be bothered with he said, she said, and they said, because it's all I can do is to keep my own self in line. I must work whilst it's day, for the ninth cup surely coming. I'm going all the way. I'm determined. I've got a made up mind. I can't stand around wasting my time. I'm gonna keep on working for Jesus every day of my life, because I've got heaven on my mind. I can't understand how some people can move so slow. They don't know just what time it is. He's coming back, and I know it won't be long. Oh yes, it's true. He's coming back, and it won't be long. The way things are going, no. I've got to be ready. I've got to be ready for my starry crown. I want to hear him say, "Well done." You can talk about me. Say what you want to say. You can stand around wasting your time. Whilst you are talking, I'm going to keep on walking because I've got heaven on my mind. You can talk about me, say what you want to say. You can stand around wasting your time. Whilst you are talking, I'm going to keep on walking because I've got heaven on my mind, on my mind. Beautiful song and lyrics by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. There's this last report I want to read. It's part of the news and an extra article, but it's quite long. It's very lengthy. So let me just skip it. God, in the next meeting, the next time I will use it because it's quite extensive and there are a bit more things to talk about in that regard. This has to do with the alliance between Russia, Turkey, and Iran. This week they met in Iran. And it's a whole big thing biblically. It's quite a big development. When it talks about Bible prophecy, Ezekiel 38, and regarding attacking Israel, the chess pieces are moving. And they are part of Bible prophecy, which when you see, it means a whole big thing. This is one of such meetings, such alliances that will be formed in the last days. And we are seeing it unfolding right before our eyes. So that's a bit more extensive. So I'll just pause. I'll address it so that I talk about it better. But tonight, let me quickly talk about the fact that it's time we pay attention to our work. I don't mean working for a government or working for a company or something. Working for God. Working for Jesus. We sometimes just ignore. We just forget about the fact that we have work to do as believers. But, we just ignore it. We wake up every day, we are busy chasing our money, chasing our government, chasing this, chasing our cola, chasing... all is important, yes, because we have to survive. But what about the work that our king also left us to do? Unfortunately, very few pay attention to these things. Very few believers are adhering to the work that we have to do as believers. But it's really interesting when you read the book of Revelation. Let me just start with the last verse that has the word work in there. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Every man without exception, every man without exception, according as his work shall be. Just be sincere to yourself. Assuming you are ending your calendar tonight, that means effective beyond tonight, you have to give an account of your work prior to tonight. Because beyond tonight, you can't do any work again. If God calls you tonight, that means your work up to tonight. So that is it. It ends. So if you are to give account of your work up to tonight, Asembeba Debi, can you give an account that is worthy of the time of being a Christian, you've known him? Can you give an account that is worthy of your life spent on this earth? Can you give an account worthy of the knowledge that God bestowed you with as a believer, as a Christian? The knowledge that he gave you to understand his word, to read the word of God, because there are many who can't read the word of God to understand it, to even know what to do with it. But you have the knowledge to understand everything you read in the word of God, per the Spirit's leading and guidance and all. Can we give an account of the work we've done with our lives? If he is to call us to give an account today. This wasn't my topic for the day, but yesterday when I was going for a walk in the morning, no, the evening rather, I was walking around in the area, and then this song that I just played, and then the Holy Spirit gave me that I should talk about this tonight. It's time we pay attention to our work. Because whether we like it or not, we'll give account of our work. The fact that no one talks about it, the fact that the church doesn't talk about it, the fact that you are not hearing it, doesn't mean you will not give an account. Everybody will give an account of our work. Our works will follow us. So what work will follow you? You know, we don't talk about these things that much. You know, we don't often want to hear about anything relating to death and death stuff. So, right, we leave it. But we can't also deceive ourselves and pretend like ostriches as if nothing is happening. The reality is the reality. One day we will give an account of our work. So sometimes we just have to remind ourselves, of the hard truths in this life. How are we spending our times? How are we spending our life? How are we spending our money? How are we spending our resources? Of all the things God gives us, how are we using it to further His kingdom and all? You see, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, you know, our certifications, academic performance, degrees and all, we realize, yes, it helped us to get to a point in life. And that is even a bigger challenge because the higher you go, the more you even have to account for. Because if you are earning one CD, you can do things with one CD, worth one CD. But the higher you've gone and the bigger you earn means there's more that you can do with that much. I mean, so you see, sometimes we just think it's only about us, but it goes beyond us. It goes beyond us. God allows some blessings to come our way, not only for our use only, but for the furtherance of the kingdom. You know, we just sometimes are selfish. Sometimes we just pretend as if, oh, God can do things without us. Oh, yes, He can do it without you. Because if whether you give or not, I mean, He still uses others. But the fact that we will give account of our works should encourage us that we should pay attention to how we spend our life and our time and our things that God has given us. You know, because it's now obvious, the world is just not the place for us. We clearly are not going to be here forever. It's just clear and obvious. And the signs are just too clear that we are in the end times. So we also cannot pretend as if we are going to live forever. So the earlier we tune our minds to the fact that the times are just changing too so fast, the better. You know, you look at the news I shared this evening, and clearly you can see that this is the end time the Bible talks about. This is just a small fraction of the things happening in the world. But it just points to a signal. It gives us a signal that this is a wake-up call. You know, so the song, the words of the song are very clear and concise about a wake-up call for believers. You know, like our friends, Jesus Loves You Ministry, are going to for their missions. These are the works, a part of the works that God expects us believers to be engaging in, not only in going, but in participating in helping, in supporting missions, helping the poor, the needy around us, and all. You see, these days, there are things which at first I wasn't too particular about, but I realized that, you can make some big mistakes because even helping the poor. There was a day, a young guy, this was some years back, is it 7 or so? Early morning, he came, knocked the door. This thing, sometimes when I remember it, I feel very uncomfortable because it's like, oh, we are late for church. And like when he came, he knocked, so yeah, he needs help. He wants to be like listed, like go do something like shoemaking, small money to help him start up. And it's like, oh, this one, I was more of like the Pharisee in the Good Samaritan story. Oh, we are late to church, so you and come, like. And see, when the Bible says we can have angels visit us, you know. So when I said it, he left. But I opened the door again, and he wasn't there. This issue. So, interestingly, that day when I got to church too, the message that was preached was in line with some. Is it so? God really does. He helping the poor and all. It's part of God's plan for us. It's part of God's plan. One listener sent me a message a while back, some months ago. I believe she's even listening. Where an old man came to her office where she works, and then she just saw something peculiar about this old man. And after the man bought the prepaid, she was like, he was still sitting there. So he called the man and gave the man money for transport. Like, she thought, the man looked poor, sort of old. And but then, you know, later on, she got to know that that man was an angel. Because the son dreamt, had a heavenly visitation, and all. You see, so, looks, I mean, we see human beings, angels will not see angels physically with wings behind them, but they will come as human beings. See, so when we it comes to doing the work of God, it's just, we should allow the Holy Spirit to just use us. Most times we are stubborn, but it's time we become flexible and we just allow God to use us. And, you know, I mean, this evening, Dr. Bebu told me, they'll be coming for a reminder, you know, they are going for the missions and the Paga and all that. And I was thinking about the fact that, see, these works, these are the things that we should be really pushing ourselves to be. You know, just like someone wants to fail his CV certificate in this conference, you know, we want to fill our academic, you know, when we write our CV, long pages. We should also begin to fill our CVs when it comes to spelling. Because for some people, you know, a friend who is in a recruitment firm, he has a recruitment firm, once said, another person I know, he lost his job and he asked him to bring the CV. And then the CV was blank. Just one, after we finished school all these years, just one job, and that job too, they fired him. So that was the only experience. Even that job too, the experience wasn't anything so related to his academic, you know. So it's like, it's difficult to help you with this CV. But after many years finishing university and all that, but there was very little to, nothing, almost nothing to put on the CV. And that's how a lot of believers, God sees us, because we've been believers for all these years, but there's nothing about. We've not been in any spiritual something that you can really put on a CV that, God, I did this for you. I did this. I helped this. I did that. But that's the essence of the song I played. It's time we become heavenly minded. Dr. Baby, welcome.
Thank you. All right, Ben.
So, the mission preparation, how is it going?
Yes, please. By God's grace, we are on it. I think last week was our preparation, spiritual preparation.
Yeah.
Yes, we had our fasting and prayers. We just finished yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And by the grace of God, everything went well.
All right. I think I had a call, is it Friday? A woman came to the studio and wanted your contact. So I think
maybe the husband also called. But a man called and told me that he said he came to the station. Maybe
yes,
that was related. Yes, so, God bless him. And other listeners who also have called to help us with clothing and also with money.
Oh, okay. God bless them immensely. And these are the things we should be interested in. These are the things. And these are the things that will count too. You know, these are the things that will count. These are the things that will count. So, you see, when we hear of missions, if really it's possible, ideally it's like we should push in as much as we can as believers, because the souls are really out there. The souls are out there, and the mission field, the harvest is plenty, as Jesus said himself. But the laborers, now there's fewer. If in the time of Jesus, he said the laborers are few, now it's even fewer. Per the world population, per Christian population, and per the mission-minded and evangelistic-minded believers, the laborers are much, much fewer than at the time when Jesus was even saying what he was saying. Because the world population has exploded, soon getting to 8 billion. Christianity is barely 3 billion. Mm. Of that, let's scrutinize, come down to the real, real, real Christians, serious Christians. Then those who are even interested in doing missions and evangelism and all, much, much, much fewer. So we can have an idea of how really big the issue is. Unfortunately, the church doesn't seem too interested. So the listeners of issues, I know they are a different breed of believers and Christians.
Yeah.
So they understand these things much more. So that's why, like, I've always given a platform to Jesus Loves You missions when you are going on to missions. And listeners have always, you know, been supportive. Yeah. This is the fourth year. 2 years before COVID. You had two or three before COVID.
Yes, please.
So this is the sixth year then, or fifth.
But we have been doing this for 7 years.
Yeah, but the first time you came,
we probably, it's probably around this the fifth. Years.
Yeah, okay. So I believe there are some who didn't listen to you the first time. Mm-hmm. So if you can just give a summary of this mission around. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Brahim. And God bless you once again for giving us this platform. And this platform, we don't take lightly at all, because anytime we come here, we get resource. We say, oh, glory be to God. We take the opportunity to also bless the leadership of this radio station. And Jesus Loves You Missions is a non-denominational group of believers who go out there to evangelize or do missionary work. And this particular mission, that we are going to Paga, we have termed it Paga for Christ. Last 5 years, we went to Paga to evangelize. And by God's grace, with the souls that we got and with the church we partnered with, we were able to form a church for that church. And we spent 5 days there, 4 days, sorry. And after the 4 days, God gave us more than 40 souls to be able to start a church. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. These were people who came on Sunday to be part of the church. Though others had to go to their own church, but at least we had about more than 40 to start with it. And that was to the glory of God, because four days, you can imagine the work that God used us to do over there. And now we want to revisit the church as mm-hmm. Apostle Paul and the other apostles did, to go back and see how the souls are doing. And then we have heard news, because they also call us, that the souls are doing well, the church is still alive and vibrant, and we want to go see them. And also, if God permits, the souls that he will grant unto us this time around, also open another branch for the church, so that the church would be increasing in numbers and in number of branches. So actually, for this, we are leaving Kumasi on the 27th. That is Wednesday, just the next coming Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are leaving Kumasi early morning, 6 a.m. Yeah. We're going to be in the bus for almost 12 hours. To Paga, yes, it's going to be a nice experience. Once again, yes. And then when we get there, as I already said, last 3 weeks we were at the mountains preparing. And last week, too, we had our fasting and prayers. Because this is not bread and butter. It's not time to dilly-dally or to... It's not a fleshy kind of work. So we've done the spiritual bit, and we are still continuing it, praying hard, because we know how missions grounds are. And when we get there, yes, we will do night crusades. Every night, we are going to have crusades. And also, in the morning, we'll be doing the dawn broadcasting also we'll be having our Bible studies, doing house-to-house evangelism in the afternoon, farm-to-farm, school-to-school, wherever. Heart-to-heart.
Because there's more of the hearts,
And when we get there, we are so energetic by God's grace. We don't give chances at all because we know why we are there. I remember, Brian Ben, 2019 November, when we went to Sierra Leone, even at the Kotoka Airport, at the airport, we said the evangelism over there. Because we said, yes, this is why we are here. And there's no need to waste time at all. So at the airport, we were just spreading the word of God to people from all walks of life. It didn't matter your color, to the white, to the black, and to anybody else that we met. So exactly, that's what we are going to do. We also would do our medical outreach, where we are going to take care of the people for free. Yes, please. When you get there, Brahman, and you tell them that we are going to take care of them for free, sometimes they don't believe you until it happens, because they tell you people come there on medical business.
They finish indirectly
start taking money. So initially you find just a few people come for the medical outreach, and when they realize that
it's free indeed,
it's really free, and they get the drugs, hold the drugs, and take the drugs home.
Alarm blows.
And now they're blowing the alarm in the homes that, hey, these people mean business actually for free.
Yeah.
And it's not just come and collect drugs, but we set up a clinic.
Yeah.
Yes, a mini clinic where you have a doctor, myself, by God's grace, and also other nurses and stuff like that, pharmacists, and then we take care of the people. We take a history, we examine, we make a diagnosis, and treat. Yes, and those who need referral, we refer them.
Okay.
And by God's grace, when you are taking care of them, sometimes you meet people who the Holy Spirit leads you into knowing that these ones are spiritual, so they need prayer. So for the spiritual ones, we refer them to our crusade that very night, and when they come, God delivers them. And I believe that this is a very splendid experience for the people, and everybody wants to have such an experience. And with this, we are encouraging everybody to come on board. If you ask me, you know, I think in the little studies we've done in the schools, when we talk of resources, we are talking of about the three M's, the man, the material, and the money.
Yeah.
Yes, and we need all these three resources.
Yeah, so transportation,
we need
the manpower.
Yes, the transportation alone is 300 in and out, and we are about number 30 missionaries on the site. And that alone is a big toll on us. So we need people to help us. If you're hearing us and you're touched by the Spirit, you want to come and help us out. And then so that we'll be able to, you know, go through some of this overhead cost. Yeah. And again, if you don't have money and you still want to be part of us, the door is still opened that you come and join us, because we don't want money to be a blockade to your work for God. And we believe strongly, we have faith that if you come and you don't have money, God will still provide. Yes, because it's God who does his work. Man cannot work for God. It's God who does his work. So if you don't have money and you still have a good heart, you want to evangelize, you want to be part of this particular missions and our next missions, you can still call the numbers we're going to give and then be part of it. And again, we also need materials. We talked of the clothes that we are going to. Brian, God bless you. We got yours. I know you don't want me to mention it, but I have to. God bless you so much. We got your clothes. And there are a lot more people who have called us and brought their clothes. And I believe the people of Paga are going to really have a good time handling these clothes and wearing them and taking them to church and so on and so forth. So we are encouraging everybody to come on board. Yes.
So the number?
Yes. So Momo contact number, Momo number, and the name on it is Jesus Loves You Missions, is 0591 482 7119.
So
0591 482 7119. Yes, please.
Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you, missions. And if you want to contact us for any questions, you can call me, that's Charles Abibu, on 0244 7283 27. Or you can call Brad Ben on 0243 5069 0243506907. Thank you very much.
So if someone has deliveries to give,
yes, we usually we would not want you to worry yourself to come to us. Wherever you are, you call us, we will come and get the clothes from your house or wherever you want us to get them from. Yes, please.
So if someone wants to give a bag of rice, oil or something.
Yeah, it's welcome. Mm-hmm. We will be glad to have them. Yes, please.
Because mama sees too, you know.
We are done with the fasting. So on the grounds, we are going to eat, get energy to evangelize.
Yeah, you need energy.
Unless the spirit says so. Yeah. Because in Sierra Leone, that was our plan. But when we got there, it was one day that God wanted us to fast and pray. So we had to fast and then pray.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't come up, we're going to eat. Because we've already done the fasting.
Yeah.
We're going to eat and eat well.
It's important. Even aside that, yes, if you have illness, you even leave it to the community. I mean, leave it to them as well. Yes, so, please. And it's needed there anyway. Mm. I mean, so it's important. Yeah, we are running up, so we just have 3 minutes, so just a quick one, then you know, now my time is not the previous time, so I just have 3 minutes.
So we thank God for once again another opportunity.
Yeah.
And I believe Doctor has said it all. Yes, Doctor has said it all. But what we are adding is that you listening to us, you are the one God is inviting for this mission. This may be an opportunity in a lifetime that you can ever have. There's someone listening to us. This may be the time that God wants to have that encounter with you, just as the Lord did with a Samaritan woman. You can also be that Samaritan woman. You can have salvation, and then you can have it for your family and then your community as well. So please, do not hesitate to listen to the voice of the Spirit. I believe the Spirit of God is talking to you right now, you who is listening to us. And don't harden your hearts, just as the Bible said that if you hear my voice or if you hear the word, do not harden your heart. So God is inviting you to have this salvation for yourself, and not just for yourself, for your family as well. So everyone is invited, actually. Everyone is invited. We are inviting everybody who wants to be partakers of the kingdom to come and join us, so that we all go and then propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the commission he has given us. We don't have any other job to do for the Lord. That is what he has given us. So you are inviting. We are inviting all of you who is listening to us to come and join us, so that we all go and do this great commission. Amen.
Amen.
And we thank God. Just as our sister said, it's all about the great commission. Soul winning. It's a command. It's not just a wish. So we are just inviting you to come and join us. Go to Paga, lift up the name of Jesus. Let's lift him up. And then through us, he's going to win more souls for himself. So it's going to be a blessing. And I think it's we must all come. You are possible best to come, because it's a command.
Yes, please.
God bless you all.
All right. So, listeners, we thank God for such missionary activities. So, you've heard it all. Let's see how best we can help. And the song that I played earlier, let's have heaven on our mind and work for Jesus, because the ninth is just approaching. Now is the time to work. So, God willing, next week will be continuing this program. Good night and God bless you. This is Eben, Spirit 88.3 FM, and Issues of Life is the program. Bye bye.
I started out with Jesus at a very early age. Yes, I've known him nearly all of my life. Well, I admit there have been times when I faltered along the way, but I'll keep trying. Somehow I've got to make it in. You see,
I've got a charge on my life, and I've got a job to do, and I can't stop until it's through. I'm a desperate man. I've got a made up mind, and I can't stand around wasting my time. I'm gonna keep on working for Jesus every day of my life, 'cause I've got heaven. Oh, criticizing someone else. There are some things I'd rather leave behind. Let me say this today. And I don't have time to be bothered with he said, that she said, that they said. Oh no. 'Cause that's all I can do to keep my own self in line. Oh no. I must work while it's day, 'cause I know the night is surely coming. I'm going all the way. Oh, I'm determined.
I've got a made up mind.
I've got a made up mind.
I can't stand around.
Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
'Cause I've got heaven.